You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Make you go ham on your ham horn. You just heard Axe Crazy by Night Demon. That's actually off the first album by Night Demon being re-released this Halloween on Shadow Kingdom Records on tape. I highly recommend you pick it up because Night Demon rules, as you just heard. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. Welcome back to another episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. With me today, I've got 365 Days of Horror and the induplicatable Randall Thor. How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Yeah, not too bad.
All right, that's, you know, it's good enough, I guess. So, I think that Night Demon is one of those rare bands that everybody likes them. It's, this is about as non-controversial as you can get. I like them. 365, you like them. Randall, yep. You like them.
Of course.
How
you
rare
know
is
I'm...
that?
It's awesome, and I was really curious about how insanely fast their success was. I mean, they're touring in Europe and America, headlining and pooling well wherever they go. And I asked my buddy about it because, you know, he toured with Visigoth, with Night Demon. And Jarvis from the band, he's been doing this for a long time. Night Demon's just kind of a more recent thing. But he's owned a venue, apparently. He's apparently helped with a lot of tours, a lot of bands. He's been in the industry for a long time, so he has all the contacts. He knows everybody at the labels. Everything he needs to know. So, and he's seen other bands do this and helped them do this for years. So when he gets his own band, he knows exactly what to do, exactly who to talk to, exactly where to go. And it's worked out extremely well for him and the band. And it's awesome to see a band in that style, just old school, heavy speed metal, whatever, just rocking out and people digging it and selling.
Yeah, it doesn't
I love seeing that.
It doesn't hurt that they rip.
Hurt that he's also a good musician. You know, that part is helpful too.
I picked up Curse of the Damned whenever that dropped on vinyl when 20 Bucks Spin was having a sale, and I'm glad I did. I revisit that record an awful lot.
Did you get a chance to see them live when they toured earlier this year?
I didn't, and that's entirely because I am scum.
Did they come near you?
They did.
Dude, man, because them and Visigoth together were just a monster lineup. And then who was the
other? I saw that tour.
Who was the other band on that tour? Because they ripped too.
Their shirt was like Motorhead, and it was like the same symbol.
They're like Motorhead and Monster Magnet mashed into a band. It just
something
ripped.
Like that. It was like kind of hard, not quite speed metal, hard rockish. I'm blanking on their name though.
I can't remember, but if you go look up that tour poster, find that band, listen to them.
So it's been a productive week, I think. We learned, we loved, we lost. In the end, I think we were better people. Randall, what happened in your life?
Oh, well, as you know, it is now September, which means it's basically fall, which means pumpkin spice lattes are back. I'm actually sitting here with a pumpkin beer right now. I've already had two pumpkin spice lattes this week, and I cannot be happier.
Are you wearing Uggs right now?
I don't actually own a pair of Uggs, but I'm seriously considering buying one just to complete the outfit.
I'm convinced that pumpkin spice is going to cause dick cancer or something. Like, there is some chemicals in there that are not natural. It's not right.
Worth it.
Fair enough.
No, it's pumpkin spice is actually does not even have pumpkin in it. I don't know why it's called pumpkin spice. It's got like allspice. I think that's the main ingredient.
Yeah,
and a couple other things.
Yeah, I'm sure that you've got some nutmeg or something in there.
Oh yeah, it's cinnamon. But it doesn't matter because it tastes delicious. And pumpkin flavor. Pumpkin pie has always been my favorite dessert. So this is just completely natural and expected of me to do
this.
The
best pie flavor, let's be honest.
This is the best pie flavor. Nothing else matters. I mean, don't get me wrong. Chocolate pie is up there,
too.
I love pecan pie. I love all sorts of pies. I know all about pies. I know the best pies. But pumpkin pie is just top-notch, man. You need to get some whipped cream on there. Oh, gosh. I can't wait for Thanksgiving now. I'm so ready.
Okay, well, we're still in the summer. It's currently 95 degrees outside, so maybe we can, you know, keep it in our pants until it actually becomes fall.
Oh, no, too late. I'm already full-on pumpkin. I've got a pumpkin beer with me right now. Let me take a sip of that. Saranac pumpkin ale. Delicious.
365, you were telling me that you did something that, quite frankly, I wouldn't have done over this weekend. How about you share it with all of us?
That sounds so vague and terrifying, I almost don't want to, just so the listeners are like just imagining in their head what it could possibly be. But I went out and saw a late night showing of Suicide Squad.
Oh, gosh. Horrifying.
Did you go alone? Did you to hide your shame, or did you take somebody with you?
No, I wasn't alone.
So, who did you make go see that with you? I'm sorry.
My significant
for that
other wanted to go see it.
All right, okay. That's fair. So tell us, was Suicide Squad everything you hoped it would be? Was Jared Leto's Juggalo Joker just as crazy and unhinged as I was promised?
He was pretty terrible, but thankfully he wasn't in it that much, so he only had to cringe a few times. Like, the way critics were describing it, I thought it was just going to be the worst movie ever, like total death for 2 hours. It was okay. Some people were good. You know, Will Smith was good. Margot Robbie was good. Other than that, like, I didn't hate it. It was tolerable. I have no plans to see it again anytime soon. And that's really all I could say about it. The best part was, though, before going in the theater, there were two people ahead of me walking in, and I parked right behind them. It was a pickup truck, giant Trump 2016 sticker on it. See the guy come out, big puff of vape smoke. Juggalo berry flavored.
Oh, gosh.
And as I'm walking behind him, he has a Cypress Hill shirt on. This is a white guy, by the way. Cypress Hill shirt. He has a backwards baseball hat with a big marijuana leaf on it with chronic across it. And the girl he was with had a Cottonmouth Kings hoodie.
Oh.
You should have gone up to him and gone, "Vape Nation," and
done the little hand sign. A whoop whoop.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I just assumed this couple was out to see Suicide Squad. They weren't going after an art house film. They weren't looking at Hell or High Water, were they?
Believe it or not, they didn't go into Suicide Squad. They went into... I think they went into the Seth Rogen animated monstrosity known as Sausage Party, which is way worse.
Let me share my shame with you guys. I have talked shit on that movie since seeing the trailer of it, saying that it looks like actual garbage. And a buddy of mine made me go along with him to see it, and it was even worse than I imagined. It was hands down one of the least funny things I think I've ever seen. I'm a man who has a gutter sense of humor and thinks the fuck word is funny, but I will never ever think that the fuck word is as funny as Seth Rogen does, apparently. It's just, I want my $10 back more than anything else.
Dude, you should ask for it. Movie theaters will do that.
Probably not this one. Like, I also had like a full pizza and a couple of beers.
Oh, I mean, yeah, just get your movie ticket money back, though.
Yeah. This is my deep shame, so thank you for letting me share that with you guys. I don't think that I'll ever recover from it.
This is a safe space. You'll be all right.
Well, perfect.
I can't even think of anything I've done recently that I'm even ashamed of.
Yeah, you don't really embrace shame. That's not natural to you.
It kind of works out, though. You know, I can watch whatever I want and just enjoy it. I mean, like, I wouldn't go see Suicide Squad, but I wouldn't be ashamed of it. I would just talk trash on it to annoy the friends of mine that did enjoy it, which is kind of all I do, really. But
you being annoying, I've never heard of such a thing.
It's good to have hobbies.
that's what I'm on the show for, right?
So there was some, I guess, in metal, new things happened, as they do from time to time. Randall, you were telling us about a cover that was just released.
I was really excited when I saw it, because it was Between the Buried and Me covering Bohemian Rhapsody. And I can only think of a handful of bands that I ever want to see attempt that, because, you know, the song is annoying enough just because everyone ever has played it 8 billion times on the radio and everywhere.
I'm probably tired of hearing it. If I never heard that song again in my life.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a good song the first 300 times you heard it, but either way, it's a well-written song. It's got an iconic place in music history, and I was expecting Between the Bear to do a great job with it. I was really excited about it. Oh my gosh, just pure disappointment, man. So, not to say Tommy doesn't have a great voice, because he really does, but that's the only voice in the whole song. Like the choir parts, you know, like the crazy high notes they hit in the original?
Yeah. Well,
gone. Not there anymore.
So there are no harmonies, it's just one guy singing it?
Oh, no, there are harmonies and everything, but it's just his voice, and he never goes beyond his range. He just sits in that comfortable mid-range where he sounds really good, which...
Albus, go away. Albus is, like, attacking my feet.
I have to ask, what's the point of covering a song like that if you've just got one vocalist and who's not stretching his range at all? That's kind of what the song is.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine to do it with one vocalist too, but I mean, you've got to have some outrageousness to, especially in that middle section, because the entire point of the middle section is just be crazy, and they just were just kind of cool and controlled with it. And they're about to tour with Devin Townsend. Like, at least just call that guy and say, "Hey, Devin, hit some crazy high notes for us and make this little zany for us." And he's one of the other people who I would love to hear a cover of that song for him. But
I know you mentioned it's Between the Buried and Me, but in my head I heard Bury Your Dead covering Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh my gosh. Now I kind of want to hear that. That'd be
me too. I want to hear that.
But yeah, it's disappointing. I'm sure a lot of people will still enjoy it. And, you know, it's a hard song to cover. So, I mean, I'm not trying to diss the band. It's one of the hardest songs you can pick to cover. I was disappointed that I expected more out of them.
There was another band, Reddit's favorite band, Allegion, put out a cover of Rush's...
I Like Aeon.
Oh,
for anybody who is like me and is a nerd idiot and doesn't know how to pronounce it correctly.
They should probably spell it right if they wanted people to pronounce it right. But they, right. they put out a cover of Rush's Subdivisions this week, which is awesome because, you know, that's a really dope song, you know? It was a little disappointing, though, because the guitars were pretty far in the back. Instead, there was a really kind of farty keyboard line that carried the song. And they missed a big opportunity with the chorus of Subdivisions. Like, they didn't do super guttural vocals, which I think that they definitely should have done. So yeah. I'm going to give that a 6.5 out of 10.
That's what I'm going to give the BT Bam. Like, it's fine. It's just not what it could have been.
There was a new Opeth song released maybe yesterday as well. I didn't listen because like I don't care about Opeth at all. Did either of you guys listen?
Nope. Yeah, I gave it a listen.
What are your thoughts?
I feel like we're starting to run a theme every week of a new song comes out, and it's just, you know, thoroughly okay. Because... Once again, it happened. This Opeth song is okay. I don't think they're ever going to go back to what they used to sound like in the Blackwater Park, My Arms, Your Hearse, Deliverance era. And now it's just kind of noodly, slightly jazzy, check out what I can do, prog rock. This song was a little bit softer and nicer than the other song that came out, but I don't really have high hopes.
Well... That's a thrilling endorsement if I've ever heard one.
You know, we're doing real good. Let's talk about some things that rule. How does that sound?
I'm into that.
Okay, so the Carolinas are the best at barbecue. And also we just
citation had... Citation needed.
Come taste it and find out.
Fair enough.
But anyways, we had two fests. One in South Carolina, one in North Carolina. And the South Carolina one was Communion of Darkness Fest. And this has been running for a year. I don't know how many years. I didn't pay attention to the number because I'm an idiot. But it was a black metal festival in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And there were some good bands playing it. Pagetian, we featured them on the show before. Zucatra played. They sound way better live. Their recordings are just unaccessibly raw. Very, very raw. But people are into that. But, you know, they wear a cape and a hood and huge spikes on stage. And they're really nice people. So... a bunch of other local and regional bands, some from way out of town. I believe Florida and Louisiana had bands represented there. But just a solid all-around black metal fest for the region. And then there's also Thou Shall Rock Fest, which I was planning on attending Saturday night, but unfortunately I was just too tired after my show Friday that I couldn't go. But just straight up old-school heavy metal, power metal, speed metal, just rocking all weekend long. A little bit of doom as well. From Dogbane.
All weekend long.
Oh yeah, rock block. But it was a really sweet lineup as the first one, and hopefully will not the last one. And let's see, two of the bands are represented on my power metal compilation album I do every year, A Flame in the Dark. And so hopefully, since I couldn't make it, they were helping rep a little bit for me.
If I had a sound effect for a plug, I would use it right now. I don't. Still working on that soundboard.
All right, I'm always going to plug A Flame in the Dark. Listen to power metal.
I'm going to open this up to you right now. We're going to choose your own adventure, what to do with the audience. Do you guys want to play a selection from our book club, or do you want to play a totally ripping death metal track?
Totally ripping death metal track.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Oh, I guess. Here we go. This is No Reason to Live with Choking on Your Blood.
One night, I'm gonna come to you inside of your house, wherever you're sleeping, and I'm gonna cut your throat.
Your blood! I want to sleep with your corpse! I want to bury you alive! To hear your screams! I will choke! For your blood! I'll never forget the day! I choke your life! Desolations of the flame! Your flesh, for the world to see, the steel of your skin, paralyzed by the
You just heard Choking on Your Blood. That is a track from Only Death is Certain by a little band called No Reason to Live out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I believe that was released like yesterday, maybe the day before.
Oh, wow.
One of the cats in the Toilet of Hell Facebook group posted it in there and tagged me in it and said, hey, this is really ignorant and you would probably like it. And, well, got me.
It's definitely ignorant.
It is exceptionally ignorant, and those riffs in this song are dragging their knuckles so hard on the ground there's barely anything left of the hand. I like this a lot, especially like the corpse grinder vocals on all of this. So
yeah, the solo is really cool. So
That is a pretty sweet solo. It begins with Daniel Plainview, I believe, from There Will Be Blood. I've noticed that movie's a pretty popular to sample among like beatdown bands who probably don't watch many art house films. Anyway,
probably not.
I enjoyed the track, and I am prepared to deal with any dissent on that.
Well, my main problem is I'm really concerned about whoever wrote the lyrics for this. So he definitely might want to see a therapist. He seems to have at least one or two mental issues. So first off, he wants to murder somebody who I'm assuming is a woman, because brutal death metal bands love killing women because that's cool to them, apparently.
Not all brutal death metal bands. Hashtag.
And he does not ever specify the gender, to be fair. So it could be a man. I'm just going to put that out there. I'm just assuming it's a woman because it always is. So, but beyond the murder fantasy issue, even the logic in his little murder fantasy is a little nonsensical. So, for instance, he says he wants to bury this person alive so he can hear her scream. Then he wants to sleep with her corpse. So I don't know if he's going to dig her back up or what. That's a little weird. But then he says he wants to burn her alive, which, I mean, is he going to set her on fire after he digs a hole and puts her in it? Like, how is he going to... I don't know.
Are you certain it's just one person? Maybe it's multiple people?
Well, it'd have to be multiple people, but it's very implied that it's a singular person because he keeps saying, you.
Yeah, it should be y'all.
There you go. That's all. If we just fix that, he'd only have one mental issue I'm concerned about. But, you know, he also wants to cut her up, and it's like, come on, dude. First off, don't kill people. That's bad. And secondly, if you're going to kill people, you know, you can't pick four different murder fantasies and do them all to one person. You got to get multiple victims. Like, come on here.
I have a theory.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not actually murdering a person. He's murdering a pizza.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
So he's cutting up the pizza. He's burying it in his stomach. He's falling asleep with the pizza still inside him. That's kind of making sense now, isn't it?
He's burning it in the oven when he's trying to reheat it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This song just had a really big turnaround.
Just cracked this case right open.
Yeah, I've totally slept with a pizza box with pizza in it next to me before.
Did you spoon it?
I kind of had to. There wasn't much room. And I was too lazy to pick it up and put it on the ground next to me instead of on the couch with me.
That song reminded me kind of, I don't know if you remember, the Century Media Metal for the Masses samplers that they used to sell. Like, they'd have 25 to 30 Century Media and, like, Olympic Records bands. That song sounds like it would be, like, number 29 out of 30.
Let's see.
Just the order of the bands does not represent quality on a sampler.
Oh, not at all. But by the time you get to it, you're just kind of tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to do a compilation like that. Order is important because you want to make sure people aren't tired by the time they get to the end of it, you know?
Yeah. I spend way more time ordering the songs on this podcast than I do anything else. Let me read this band description for No Reason to Live, and maybe it'll make a little bit more sense. Tired of the much too evident loss of integrity in music and the human race, ex-members of Hollow Point crowned the lost, built upon frustration, and Hyperion came together to bring an abrasive onslaught of honesty and defiance. So I've never heard of any of those bands, but I assume they were all number 29 on a Century Records compilation.
We've written about Hyperion, actually. Do you even read the blog?
No.
Hyperion's that really good melodic black metal band that Link really likes.
Well, how many Hyperions exist? Are we sure it's the same one?
That's yeah, there's point. So many Hyperions.
Let's find out. Right. I have no idea.
Frantically Googling.
Oh, God, there's multiple. No. Oh, how many are there? That Hyperion Link-like is totally from Sweden, so I doubt these dudes moved from Sweden to Pittsburgh to start up a ignorant death metal band.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania!
That's, you know, if you go to Europe, that's actually, there's signs for Pittsburgh all over the place. They're just moving in there in droves. I made that part up.
No, and I'm checking to make sure that we haven't covered... No, I have no idea who this Hyperion is.
I don't either now. I'm really upset and confused. There's not even a Hyperion on Metal Archives from Pittsburgh.
I am 1,000% positive that there are at least a dozen bands out there named Hollow Point, so that one doesn't help me out either.
Yeah, because I've heard of at least one named Hollow Point.
So,
dude, this is really upsetting me. I want to know who this is now.
I don't know, man. Is it not enough to know that something exists and that you enjoy it or that you at least tolerate it?
No, I need to exploit it and explore every nook and cranny of it before I can set it down again.
That's fair.
You can Google Hollow Point Pittsburgh, and it does bring up at least one band, and they do have a Reverb Nation. So.
Oh.
Nope.
Man.
Fans, here's another advice for you. If you want to put your music online, don't just do Reverb Nation. If you just do Reverb Nation, I guarantee you most people will never listen to your band.
Will you guys allow me a quick aside to yell at anybody who is in a band who may be listening?
Proceed.
Sure.
If you email me and you tell me to listen to your music, and the only way to listen to it is to download it to my computer, you can eat all of my asshole. I'm never going to download your music. Please give me a place to stream it. Thank you.
I would put that bumper sticker on my car.
Dude, so people can rear end you while they're trying to get close and read it?
Sorry,
just give them the thumbs up as they keep hitting.
I've almost rear-ended so many people trying to read their stupid bumper stickers, and it's always disappointing. It's never worth it.
It's all something related to the gold standard or fluoride in water.
Or oh bummer.
Or oh bummer. Hey, you know, last week we spent a fair amount of time bemoaning the existence of Nazis and metal, and I think that what we need to do is, rather than just be bummed out that it exists, is that we need to listen to some of it and make fun of it, because, good God, some of these bands are atrocious.
And you found one of the lesser ones. Like, of all the bad, terrible Nazi bands, you found one of the ones that are just at the bottom of that barrel.
Man, that's tough to do. I know people who live and die by Burzum. I'd rather listen to, like, Harsh Noise for an hour. And he's like the top tier of right-wing weirdos. So the name of this band is Finist. And as you may know, I'm a huge fan of Finist. Finist dick in your mouth.
Oh, wait, crap. I didn't have my hip. Hold on. I didn't have my ham horn ready. I got to get one in there. All right, I'm happy now.
Finist is from Ukraine. And it holds the distinction of being the only Nazi power metal band I think has ever existed.
That's why I like power metal so much, man. It's kind of hard to write upbeat, happy music or just fast music with clean vocals and also be singing about, you know, the Jews or whatever stupid racist thing you want. It's generally
the Jews, I think.
It's always the Jews. I mean, let's be real. And they should, you know, give us more bands like the ones they've been giving us, like Winter Horde, please.
So what I think would be a great exercise for us is to live blog a Finist track together, if that's all right with you guys.
Oh, boy.
Sure.
This is the first track from Awakening, which I guess you can probably buy at your local Walmart Supercenter. Just ask any of the friendly employees in blue jackets for the latest Finist, and they'll help you out.
Hey, do you have any racist power metal? I've really been trying to get my kick in. I'm sure they'll react greatly to that.
Yeah. All right. Let's do this together. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1, boom. And already, it sounds like Riverdance.
Very. I like how they can't come in together.
And it's not. No, it's more like the Dropkick Murphys now rather than Riverdance, because it has that added element of being racist. So probably from Boston. Is there a keyboard on this somewhere in the back?
Oh, totally. That's just giving it that big major sound. In the background? That.
Yeah, yeah. He must have recorded this with a really nice guitar amp, like a PV Bandit or something.
PV Bandit?
I see little leprechauns dancing away to this.
Are they wearing Nazi armbands or anything?
Alright, well you fucked up. The first rule of power metal is that you don't do black metal vocals on top of it.
You can occasionally, but you can't, like... I mean, I don't want to listen to the whole album, but it just depends on how he's balancing them in the rest of the album, I guess, but... Oh, oh God. Y'all know warbling is...
Yep.
What?
You know, like in choirs, like church choirs with a bunch of little old ladies, and how their voices warble like crazy, like a sheep bleeding?
Yes.
Well, that's what we just heard.
No.
It sounds like the vocals from the Zelda CDI games.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that dude needs to maybe not sing out of his nose.
On the contrary, I think he should keep at it. I find it immensely entertaining.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, this guitar, there's a really cool pedal there, like a DOD death metal.
God. You know, I find that if you actually turn the volume down a little bit, so you can't hear the vocals as well, they're a lot more enjoyable.
I find that a lot of music, if you turn down to almost nothing, is more enjoyable.
Well.
Leprechaun Nazi!
Yo, Joe, I hate to tell you this, but you might be tone deaf.
No. Yeah, no way, dude.
I could just, we didn't even bring up the lyrics, did we? They're, quite entertaining.
Yeah, do you have those in front of you? Because I didn't bother to look them up.
I'm pretty sure it's the Jews, though.
Yeah, no, I have it in front of me.
Okay, when did the Painkiller guitar tone come in?
Don't question the man's art.
Oh my gosh, their English pronunciation is terrible.
It sounds like an alien from the original Star Trek series, like, trying to sing.
Oh, yeah,
and then
somebody says a condescending comment, and Patrick Stewart scolds them.
Patrick Stewart? No, dude, the original. We're talking...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, man, we're talking Captain Kirk.
Then he tries to sleep with it.
Yeah, he's definitely gonna fuck that alien. Get over here, you green screen bitch. I would be so impressed if they ended that track by stomping on a glass.
Havana Gila.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, the first words are "History hides the Aryan glory." Oh. It's going to be that kind of day then, huh?
Oh, no.
Mondays.
Oh, my God. The Bible narrates about holy black sheep, and millions of men believe that it's true, but no one recalls the Aryan heroes.
That's true. If there's anything about history that we learn, we don't give enough credence to white people. That's why America was still founded by Christopher Columbus.
They purified this nation for me and for you, Joe.
On this album, I just want to point out, I'm looking at all the songs and the wonderful lyrics. The last one is a Gamma Ray cover.
Wait.
Does Gamma Ray know that happened? I feel like they would be offended.
Gamma Ray is not about that at all. They're about being happy and saying the word "all right" a lot.
I think he's just misinterpreting the song. It's their song "Land of the Free."
Oh, we're the last survivors. We're the ones who'll never fall. Yeah, I can totally see how you could just take this and be like, "Yeah, they're totally writing about white people and how oppressed we are."
That must be a bummer of a day when you figure out a Nazi band is like repurposing your music for their cause.
Yeah, dude, Gamma Ray just writes about like magic stuff, space, and general ideas of freedom. It's not race or color specific. It is literally just generic power metal nonsense. It rules because it's Gamma Ray and they're incredible, but it's still generic power metal stuff. Yeah, lyrical themes, sci-fi, fantasy, politics. Okay, they sing more about stuff than I thought. Okay, never mind.
Does it say Nazism?
No, they don't. That's not a theme.
Okay, good. Well, I could use a palate cleanser. How about you guys?
Absolutely.
That sounds really good.
Last week, we decided that this week we would have our first edition of the Toil of Hell Book Club. And by books, I don't read, so we would listen to an album instead. The album in question is by Monster Magnet. So let's go ahead and we'll hit a little magic from that record. How about Tractor by Monster Magnet?
Oh, yeah.
Take
You just heard Tractor. That's from Power Trip, the 1998 LP from Monster Magnet. We all had the assignment this week to come together and listen to this record and talk about it, crack a nice rosé. You know, just have a nice girls' night in with it.
Yeah. I've got my pumpkin beer. I've got my, I just slipped my Uggs off, curling up under the blanket, under my live, laugh, love sign.
I think that's the perfect atmosphere to talk about this record. So,
yeah, perfect atmosphere to talk about Monster Magnet.
The first thing I'd like to note, because we just listened to it, is Tractor is a hard rockin' song. That's probably the hardest rockin'est song on the record, in my opinion. I will say that I have an issue with it, in that they seem to be advocating for drug usage. I don't know if I want to go that far, but it's a little too close for comfort, you guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's not good either, totally, but, you know, Monster Magnet just needs things to sing about, I guess, and a lot of these touring bands are all about the cocaine and hopefully not heroin, because that's stupid.
Lead singer, guitarist Dave Windorf did overdose a few years ago.
So it wasn't just like ironic, I like drugs. Okay, no. Cool.
You well, very much good. Like drugs. He's clean now. He overdosed, lived, obviously, and has gotten clean and sober over the past few years.
That's excellent. Good.
That's good to hear. I honestly thought that it was kind of a shtick with this record, like, we all love drugs, woo, drugs, but in such a non-convincing way. So
no, that doesn't surprise me at all that a young band, would just be like, drugs, give us all of them. We're going to write an entire album about it because we love them.
Fair enough, man. That might be like most of their records, though. So
yeah, well, either way, I mean, it's Monster Magnet. They've got a sound. They stick with it. It sounds nice.
Yes, the 365, you assigned this record. Tell us a little bit.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite records, I think, of all time. It's the first heavy metal album that I ever purchased. I think, like a lot of people, it was seeing the video for Space Lord on MTV and just being entertained by it. But it was actually the second single on that album, Power Trip, that really kind of reached out to me. It was aggressive. It was catchy. The video, again, was kind of had their weird sense of humor. And just the rest of the album, really like. I think it's got enough variety in it where not every song sounds the same, but it's all in the general arena of their sound. One interesting thing, I've listened to a bunch of interviews over the years from Dave Windorf. He doesn't consider Monster Magnet a heavy metal band. And I want to know what you guys thought about that.
I'm with them. I don't consider this a heavy metal band either. This is very much 70s-style hard rock.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, there are tracks on here that there's, I believe it's See You in Hell, that has like the Farfisa organ on it. I would go back as far as the 60s with something like The Crazy World of Arthur Brown, which, you know, would be considered proto-metal by historians today. But, you know, listening to that track and any of the other things we listen to on a regular basis, it's pretty dissimilar.
Yeah, they have the benefit of the heavier production of modern production, I guess, and, you know, heavier pedals and more distortion, etc. But if you listen to music, it's all just exactly like Joe just said. It's just a bunch of hard rock. It's rules. It's fun. It just carries you along. It's good party music. Just feels good.
One of the tracks on the album that we didn't play, 19 Witches, is one of my favorites. And I describe it as stripper music from a Robert Rodriguez movie that hasn't been released yet.
Definitely. There's some surf guitar lines there that carry through. It feels, yeah, like you mentioned, kind of Once Upon a Time in Mexico-ish.
Yeah, I'm glad you gave us this one, because I've listened to Monster Magnet before, and they've never particularly done anything with me, but this one is a little better. And it's just solid music, and it's enjoyable. You can't go wrong with it. I love the bass, how big it is under the guitar. It's just like a giant ball of bass and the guitar is just strapped around it for the ride.
There's a number of really strong tracks on here, but I think my issue overall is that there's also a lot of filler on this record. Crop Circle feels filler-ish. Temple of Your Dreams did nothing for me. Goliath and the Vampires is just sound.
It's like an interlude.
Yeah, yeah. But for every one of those, there's Space Lord or Baby Götterdämmerung, however you pronounce that. 19 Witches, and of course Tractor being my favorite. I too would like to ride a tractor on a drug farm.
So this was a win then.
Yeah, yeah. Good job.
Yeah, I think this was fun. This was a nice switch up of the brutal death metal that we were listening to earlier, or the Nazi power metal that we just listened to.
God, when you said you were going to play that today, I wasn't ready for that.
I had fun doing that. I want to start introducing more awful things that we all have to sit through and suffer from.
Yeah, I'm down to suffer with you some more, I guess. But we should probably figure out who's going to assign the next book club assignment.
Randall, I will defer to you. Is there anything that you think that we should all listen to this week and report back on next week?
It's taking everything in me to not just immediately scream Riot Thundersteel, but I feel like everybody should listen to that album every day anyways, so I don't think that'd be fair because that, you know, you should already be listening to it.
All right, I will indulge you on this because I've never listened to that record, and you scream about it constantly. So for your sake, if you want to, we can do that.
No, because I would rather do a record swap with you and absolutely let everyone eviscerate you when you don't love it.
Fair.
So how about let's just get some good, solid power metal that everybody should be able to enjoy to some degree. How about we do some old school Blind Guardian?
Which record is old school?
First five.
That's not going to work.
Narrow it down a little bit.
We're halfway through. Okay, it starts with it. No, I'm thinking, I'm trying to decide in my head right now. I know exactly what to do. Blind Guardian is about to go on tour and play Imaginations from the Other Side in full. I'm seeing them do this Thursday night at Prog Power this week, and I'm beyond stoked to see this. This is a really rare opportunity. The album itself is the last of any real hints of speed metal in their sound. It's still got a ton of it in there, but then, you know, the next album they went full-on symphonic with Nightfall and Middle Earth. But this is just a wonderful album. They're about to tour and play it all the way through, and they're playing a bunch of cities that they weren't able to hit last tour. So it's really incredible. And if you have not seen Blind Guardian and they are coming near you, do try to go see them. They put on one of the best shows I've seen. It's just solid, solid, solid. I can't say it enough.
Okay.
So how about we do Blind Guardian, Nightfall and Middle Earth? Sorry. Imaginations from the Other Side.
Imaginations from the Other Side by Blind Guardian. That is everyone's assignment for this week. Listen to it. Come back to us next week. We will. There will be a test. So
you know, it's funny though because I will be at Prog Power next weekend. So we're coming back from it. So we can figure out how to deal with that if we want to come back on this once I'm back or take a break or whatever.
We're just going to rag on the album while you're not here, and then when you come back, we're going to be like, oh, it was awesome.
You can do that too if you want.
That might happen. We don't have a whole lot of time left this week on the show, so let's go ahead and get down to it. Randall, you had a question for everybody out there.
Yes. So everybody knows there's always at least one or two or 10 crappy stoner metal bands in your local town.
At least.
And, you know, Charlotte has plenty of stoner bands, and I actually enjoy a lot of them, but there's almost always at least one terrible stoner metal band in your town. Everybody knows this. So I was wondering if you had the opportunity to replace the stoner genre, the crappy local stoner band, with any band of any genre, not any band, but just a genre band. They'd still be pretty bad for that genre, too. Which genre would you pick? Okay. I personally think thrash would be the best.
Okay, so the question here is, stoner metal no longer exists, but there's a vacuum when you remove stoner metal, there are tons of questionably talented kids that need to play one genre of music. What is that genre of music going to be?
Yeah, so basically, if you could replace crappy local stoner bands with crappy local whatever genre bands.
And your answer?
Thrash, because thrash, you don't have to be good at thrash to have fun with it. It gets the metal and the punk kids to come out, and it's just genuinely a ton of fun to watch and to play, and it's always a good time, you know?
Okay, 365, what do you got?
Ska.
Yes.
Why?
Just, something for the kids. It's happy music. People can jump around and dance. There's no fighting. Lots of people wearing ties and checker colors. And, you know, the band kids finally get to play a show because they have their trumpets and their saxophones.
Sounds awesome.
Plus two-steppers. Two-steppers are fun to watch.
You don't have two-steppers. Yeah, you've got skanking at the show, right? It's all knees and elbows.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm down. Whatever. Yeah. All right. Good choice.
Yeah, I think no more stoner metal bands. Nothing but beat down hardcore. I think that we need a place, an inclusive community for all the kids that would otherwise hang out at the muffler shop or beat up kids on the street. So let's take them off the streets. Let's put them at a venue near you. And
as someone who's been to a lot of hardcore shows in the Northeast, please God, no. I've seen FSU in full force, and I don't want any part of that.
What is FSU?
Friends Standing United / Fuck Shit Up. It is. Have you ever heard of Boston Beatdown?
I mean, I'm aware that the Northeast has really stupidly ignorant and violent hardcore bands.
Well, it's not just the bands, it's the people going to the shows. Essentially, they, in the shortest terms possible, prior to their existence, there was a lot of like neo-Nazi skinhead hardcore bands and people involved in the scene, and a bunch of people got together and kicked them out of the scene, and then they kind of became the gangs, and they run a lot of security at these smaller shows. I don't know how much they are around anymore, but about 10 years ago they were in full force for a while, and you could tell by all of their FSU hats and shirts and shorts and seeing them beat up people 6-on-1, 10-on-1, and they actually put out a DVD called Boston Beatdown where you could see all of their greatest hits.
I'm with literally. You, man. Fuck Florida State University. Bunch of jagoffs.
Lousy Seminoles.
Yeah. Go Gators.
Go Gators!
Go get them, Gators!
Fuck yeah. College football started up this weekend. I'm going to go watch UT hopefully not get their dicks kicked in by Notre Dame shortly.
I grew up being a Duke fan, so you can imagine how college football went for me.
Not well.
No. Although I was at the Carolina-Duke football game, as you know, Carolina-Duke rivalry, where Duke beat Carolina, and that was probably one of the top 10 moments of my life. It was watching, as I was the only Duke fan in my friends group, and there's four of us at this game, and I got to go home with Duke somehow managing to be good enough to beat Carolina in a football game.
Well, I actually have to get out of here to, number one, watch this football game, and number two, I've got a fantasy draft for the NFL coming up soon.
Oh, nerd alert.
No.
You're a giant nerd if you play fantasy football.
There
Don't
is nothing
make fun
nerdy.
Of me and my Twilight Force fam who literally sent me a booklet with their character sheets.
There is nothing nerdy about fantasy football. This is competition and gambling, all of the manliest things.
Oh, right, you know, because sitting there obsessing over stats and historical performances and then deciding which ones you want on your team while you sit on your fat butt, lazy in your computer room, is totally not nerdy.
Well, you say that. Last year, I won $690 from fantasy football, so when that gravy train comes running through again, I'm going to remember what you said.
So that's how you play your house.
Yeah, fantasy football winnings. I lost so much more money in just straight gambling on the NFL than I won through through fantasy, but it all washes out in the end, you know? It's about even.
Yeah, you're going to hit your hot streak soon, man. Just keep going.
Yeah, I mean, I can't keep losing. That's impossible. You got to win at some point.
Yeah, luck will come around.
All right, fellas, we got to call it, man. This has been a great show. I think that we are truly we're at the apex of our game right now. Nobody can touch our blog game.
Totally, and we have a sweet track to end with too, which is nice.
Yeah, we do. This was sent to me by our buddy Shining Spear. He highly recommended that we give it a listen, play it on the show. And you know what? He's a smart guy. He's handsome. I'm going to listen to him. This is Beyond Grace with Acolytes. This features Charles Elliott of Abysmal Dawn. I am Joe Thrashenkill. With me, as always, has been Randall Thor and 365 Days of Horror. This has been the Toilet Hell Radio Show. We'll see you next week. Limitations of our own.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.